We'll start reading in verse number 1. Now, you can't be upset yet. I haven't started preaching. I was just announcements, but I learned from Dad you can do some good preaching in announcements. Amen. Amen. And sometimes I thought Dad should just stuck on announcements a few times, just announce for 45 minutes. Amen. He might have cleaned half the church out sometime. But anyways, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We started here last week in verse 1, but we'll pick up reading in verse 1. The Bible says, furthermore, so he's referring back to chapter 3, he's continuing on. Then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us, how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. Let's pray. Lord, I do love you, and I thank you so much for saving me. Lord, it's really good to be in church, and Lord, I pray that you've been honored already. And I ask for your touch and anointing as I preach. Lord, I cannot do this in the flesh. And I pray for your help now. Bless your people that are here. Speak to them. Help those that are not well. They get well soon, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So last week we looked at verse number 1. You say, why'd you read through verse 6? You're never going to get all that covered this week. You never know. Miracles might just happen. Amen. And I see Dad's rapidly moving through Hebrews, so I can rapidly move through 1 Thessalonians. Amen. And but here in verse number 2, yeah, Paul continues on. He says, for ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. And as I was looking at this verse, I thought of this. You know, to many people who claim to be saved today, commandments almost seems like a dirty word. It seems like a word that many of them would like and have tried to put out of their vocabulary. They've definitely put them out of their lifestyle, their beliefs, and their living. But the word command and commandment and commandments is not a bad word. It's not an obsolete word or an archaic word. It's a word that we find here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Paul, apostle to the Gentiles, writing to a Gentile church. You cannot get away from that. There was commandments that they knew. There was commandments that God wanted them to keep. When Christ did away with the law at Calvary, he did not tell you did not have to live under commandments. Amen? We all live under commandments. And he told them here, he says, ye know what commandments we gave you. Why did he give them commandments? There were commands they were supposed to keep. One of the problems we have in society today, in the world today, we live in a lawless society. They've done away with commandments, with rules, with requirements. It was a big thing not a few years ago. I don't know how many now, but the 10 commandments, they want to take them out of out of our courthouses and out of our public schools and out of our state buildings and out of our official places. And boy, if that was not a mark at America or a sign or a picture of America as a nation telling God, we do not want you. We do not want to live a life following the commands of God. We want to live a lawless life. We want to live like the end of the book of Judges. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. America as a nation told God, we do not want you telling us how to live or what to do. And we have turned from God. And you look at even since they tore those commandments out of our public buildings, you look at the country we live in. I just read the other day a 12 and a 13-year-old boy in Washington, D.C. shot at this police officer, and the mother had to turn her own 12-year-old son in for these terrible, brutal crimes. How did we get there? We told God, we don't want commands. We don't want your law. We don't want you telling us what to do. And now we've got a just total chaos and lawlessness in our nation. And now you have saved people. You know what they've told God in so many words? They said, we don't want you telling us how to live, what we want to do. To many, the commands of God have become very grievous. I want you to go to Exodus chapter number 15. Exodus chapter number 15, commands are good. Commandments are to be kept and obeyed. Listen, if you're a parent, you're not going to have any kind of a good home or a peaceful home without some commandments. In a church, you're not going to have a good church or a church of order and unity without some commandments. Well, as a Christian, you're not going to have a very good Christian life without some commandments in your life that you live by. Exodus chapter 15, verse 26, the Bible says, and said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. What did he tell him to do? He said, give ear to my commandments. You know what God wants us to do? He wants us to give ear to his commandments. Now, I know that sounds simple. It should be easy for us. But you know, there's people and they can do it while they sit there and they've got a little bit of smile on their face, but they can turn off their hearing when you start talking or preaching or teaching about the commandments of God. There's just some things we don't want to be told we can't do, and there's some things we don't want to be told we have to do. But God says, give ear to my commandments. He wants us to listen and to hear in regard to his commandments. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1, he says, now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it. God says not only give ear, but he says teach these commandments. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, it's a great commission. He says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Part of the Great Commission is teaching them to obey, observe, obey, follow what God has commanded, that ye do them. That's why we teach them. That's why he wants us to give ear. That's why he says observe them. That means to keep or adhere to. It's that we may do them. In Numbers 15, he says that ye may remember and do all my commandments. We're to remember them that we might do them. In 1 Chronicles chapter number 28, he says this, the end of verse 8, keep and seek for all the commandments of the Lord your God. We ought to seek for them. When's the last time you met someone that was seeking for the commandments of God? They wanted to know what God wanted them to do. They wanted to know what was right. They wanted to know what was wrong. Not in their opinion, not in the world's opinion, not in their family's opinion, but in the Word of God. They wanted to know, and they were seeking the commands of God. Listen, when you seek something, that speaks of having a desire for it. You do not seek for things that you do not like or care for. Listen, I do not like mushrooms. I eat most foods, but I do not like mushrooms. I've been in mushroom factories, or I don't know what they're called. I've seen how they grow them, and I'm not going to eat them, okay? I do not like them. And I tell you, there's never been a day I set out in the morning saying, I'm looking for some mushrooms, amen. No, I'm not seeking after them. Why? I don't like them. And I tell you, there's some mornings I've started out saying, I'm looking for some coffee, amen. I was seeking for it. And get out of my way till I get it, amen. And I know you sit back there, Pastor, I'm not like that. Well, I'm just preaching here for a little bit. But why did I seek it? Because I liked it. I wanted it. I don't do that for mushrooms. Some you or some people, they need to seek after the command. Speaks of a desire. In other words, they're not doing it because they have to do it. They're doing it because they want to do it. Because they're seeking. Nobody told me you have to get up and drink coffee every morning. No, I'm not made to do it. I'm glad to do it. I benefit from it. My wife probably benefits. I'm getting in trouble now. In other words, they're not grievous. When you think they're grievous, you're not seeking after them. He says in Leviticus 22, verse number 31, therefore shall ye keep my commandments and do them. We've looked at it. Do them, obey them, walk in them. The Bible says in the New Testament, 1 John, it's the proof of your love for God. You keep his commandments. If you know God, you keep his commandments. It's proof that you love the children of God when you keep his commandments. But then, you know what the Lord does? I love this about the Lord. Just when you think you might have attained and you might have arrived and you might have reached a great plateau to be at, you know what the Lord does? He always asks for a little bit more from you. In Deuteronomy 6, he says, verse 17, he says, ye shall diligently keep. In other words, yes, keep them. You need to keep them, do them, obey them, but not just keep them. You need to diligently keep them. He goes another step. Not only that, but you know others benefit when we keep his commandments? See, we always make it. Do we not always, almost always, got to be careful about all these being so. But anyways, don't we almost always make everything about us? Go ahead and nod your head. Even if you don't want to, just go ahead and nod your head. And so when we think about keeping the commands of God, we think, well, I'm going to keep them so I'll get blessed. And so I don't get cursed. And it will help me. It'll be a blessing to me in my life. And that's true. But you know, the Bible says this. God speaking to Isaac in Genesis chapter 26, verse 5, and he says this, because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. And then he goes on, verse 6, and tells Isaac, I'll bless you. So the blessing of God was on Isaac largely due to the fact that his father Abraham kept God's commandments. Isaac was blessed because Abraham made a desire to seek after, to obey, to keep, to diligently keep the commands of God. When you and I keep the commands of God and observe them and do them and obey them, yes, we're blessed. But others around us are blessed and they're benefited from us. And likewise, when we don't, others also suffer when we don't keep the commandments of God. So it shouldn't just be for us, it's also for others. Listen, as a parent, my family will be blessed when I keep the commands of God. But as a parent, as the head of my home, supposed to be the leader of my home, if I rebel and reject the commands of God and I don't keep them and I don't listen to them and I don't observe them, my family will be negatively influenced because of that. In the Word of God, in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 22, the Lord's asked about the greatest commandment. He gives the two great commandments. And he says this, it says Matthew 22, verse 36 through 40. But he says, Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And then he goes on and says, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, I don't know about you, but after those two, I don't need any more commandments. I'm 45 years old, as you all well know. I've been saved 33 years. You know what I've been trying to do for 33 years? I've been trying to keep those two commandments. Some days I do okay at it. Some days I fail miserably at it. There's only two. You think I could get two commandments down and then come to the Lord and say, Lord, I got the first two. Could you give me the next two great commandments? I can't even keep diligently all the time the first two. You say, why not? Well, part of them is, have you ever met a neighbor? They're weird. Some of them are rude. Some of them are as annoying as a fly in the middle of the night buzzing around your ear. Some of them are just, who wants to love them? Like I love me. And then love God with all my heart. Boy, there's a lot of competition for my heart in this world. There's a lot of competition for your heart. To love them with all my heart. Those are two hard things. Now listen, we should. It's shame on me and shame on us for not doing it. He says, love the Lord thy God. He'll be first in your life. If you follow that commandment, he'll always be first. You'll want to please him. His commands will not be grievous. Listen, if you love your neighbor as yourself, you won't try to hurt them. How many of you, just about every day you start your day, say, man, I want to see how I can inflict pain on myself? No, you got problems if you do that. You need to be committed somewhere. You won't try to hurt them. You won't try to do them wrong. You won't trespass against them knowingly. You know, in Exodus chapter 20, verses 3 through 17, we won't go there, but you have the Ten Commandments as God gave them to Moses to give the children of Israel. And when you think about those Ten Commandments, if you would obey the two great commandments, you love God with all your heart and soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself, you start going down through those Ten Commandments, you'll keep them. See, the first commandment is, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Well, if you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, that's not a hard command. You've got that. God's number one. He's first. You'd never have another God before you. But if you don't love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, you're going to have other gods in your life. And I know we sit here in an independent, fundamental Baptist church, and we sit there and say, I don't have gods. That's the Catholic church that has gods, and that's the Presbyterian church that have gods. I'm telling you, you can sit in a good church. You have a King James Bible in your lap. You can be dressed right, smell right, and look right, and done everything right so far today in your opinion, and have gods in your life. And you can be guilty of breaking the first of the Ten Commandments. I mean, you even got down to number two or three or four. You went ahead and broke number one right off the bat. Shall have no other gods. Nothing's supposed to come before God in our life. And yet it does. God so easily, for some people, takes a back seat. And the first commandment is, thou shalt have no other gods. Nothing's supposed to come ahead of God. He's supposed to be the supreme authority in our life. The second one, no graven images. I hope you don't have any of them. Third one is, thou shalt not take the name of thy God in vain. I hope you don't do that. I hope you don't use foul speech. I understand the name of the Lord is not all those words, but you know, that's, there's two of them, and that's one that comes with judgment. It says the Lord will not hold them guiltless. We live in a society that with their words, they're vile and vulgar and dirty. And you just go into any public place and you hear that vile, vulgar. And listen, that doesn't make you something tough or special if you use those dirty words. The next commandment, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. You know, that's a two-part command. He says, remember it and keep it holy. I could remember it and not keep it holy, and I'm not fulfilling that command. Now, I understand, I know it's not the Sabbath day. It's the Lord's day.
Yes.
It's even better. It's the Lord's day. We don't have to keep a Sabbath day. We now get to keep the Lord's day. And you know what's best? The Lord's day is better than the Sabbath day, in my opinion. It's the first day of the week. I get to give him the first day of my week. And so I can let him know he's number one. He's most important. I don't want to start a day or a week without God. And I give him the first, the best. It's his. And then the next six, we can do what our duties dictates that we do. But remember, Sabbath day, keep it holy. Well, that's hard to preach anymore. In the day and age, 2023, who keeps the Lord's day holy anymore? It's supposed to be sacred. It's supposed to be consecrated unto God. I just was just talking to somebody about a job, and I said this, I'd never take a job you'd have to miss church over. I wouldn't. You could never convince me that was the will of God. Why? Remember the Lord's day. You say Wednesday's not the Lord's day. You've got heart problems. The next one is honor thy father and thy mother. Oh boy. Young people excited right here? You got your note, your pens and papers out. Boy, you're wanting to take notes. Anything, drop your head, right? You don't have to look. You just scribble down there and say, terrible, terrible, terrible. Honor thy father and thy mother. But Lord, have you met mine? He made them, so he knows. You know, it doesn't put an age limit on there. That's tough. Is that not a command?
Yes, sir.
Listen, if I love my neighbors myself, that won't be a problem for me. Honor. Boy, there's a lot of dishonoring. You know, one of the problems in our society, I believe among many, is that the older generation, they used to be honored. They used to be respected. They used to be looked up to as a generation that had some wisdom. People used to go to the older generation for advice and counsel and beliefs and family history, and all that would be passed down from the older generation. And now the older generation, well, now most of them aren't worth shooting, but they've largely just been rejected, and now it's our peers. Look, your peer is as dumb as you are, young person. They're as void of knowledge as you are. Anyways, honor thy father and thy mother. Next one, thou shalt not kill. If I love my neighbors myself, I'm not going to kill them. That won't be hard to do. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Listen, that message needs to be preached in our Baptist churches.
Yes, sir.
There's people committing adultery at a rapid pace. It's disgusting. It's wrong. It's sin. Listen, that is sin. That is sin. Thou shalt not steal. If I love my neighbors myself, I'm not going to take what's theirs for myself. Do you like when somebody steals from you? It violates you. That is a violation. Well, you wouldn't steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. How many of y'all like somebody telling false stories about you? How does it make you happy when people lie about you? You know, when they lie about you, it's never for the better, right? It's always for the worse. They never said, boy, that Kevin, man, he's a perfect husband. He's a perfect dad. I mean, he's like the model Christian. I mean, that guy, I don't know if I've ever met a Christian, maybe outside of Apostle Paul, like Kevin Nagle. They're not going to lie about him like that. You tell that's a lie? He's not perfect. No, they're going to say that dirty, low-down scoundrel. They're going to all this. They always lie and tell worse things. Talk about the degradation of the flesh. Amen. Then the last one, thou shalt not covet. And really, if you look the rest of that verse, it's your neighbors, and they list all your neighbors' things you're not supposed to covet after. Well, if I love my neighbor as myself, I'm going to be thankful and glad for what he has. I'll be content with what I have. I won't covet, but we live in a day and age of covetousness. But these 10 commandments, and they're not all of them, but if I love God with all my heart and soul, mind, and strength, and I love my neighbor as myself, I'll keep those 10 commandments. They won't be difficult. They won't be hard. So he says there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, for you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. Then he goes on to verse 3. He says, for this is the will of God. Well, I don't know if there's a phrase that's been misunderstood and interpreted and explained away than the will of God. You know, I could bring... I'm not saying all from here, but I could find probably 25 saved people and bring them up here this morning. And I could tell them, say, are you doing the will of God? And they'd say yes, and they'd tell you what they're doing. And this one, are you living the will of God? Yes, they'd tell you what they're doing. And you could get 25 people, and they'd be, I'm telling you, they'd be, the spectrum be so wide. You know what they'd all be convinced of? I'm doing the will of God.
Right.
I'm in the will. I know the will of God. I'm in the center of the will of God. And some of them are in one of the three wills of God. I mean, there's so much confusion about the will of God. Some say, God, it's like he has a good, better, and best. I guess you lesser Christians, you got to settle for the good will of God. Some get the better one, and I guess a few get the best. Some get the acceptable. God, there's something God's accept. He doesn't really like it, but he's acceptable with it. I mean, that's retarded. It doesn't even make sense. If you parent like that, you're a confused parent. The will of God. This is the will of God. Even your sanctification. Listen, I believe, if you want to not agree with this, that's your right. But I believe outside of sanctification, you can't even know the will of God. He says, this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that. Now he's going to give you something. But outside sanctification, you ain't getting it.
Right.
All these people saying they're in the will of God, you look at their lives, they're living unsanctified lives. How can you know the will of God when you're not even sanctified?
Amen.
Then he says that ye should abstain from fornication. That's pretty clear right there. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Romans, we know these verses well. Romans 12, I beseech you. Again, Paul, as he starts here in chapter 4, verse 1, he's beseeching, he's imploring, he's begging. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your what? Reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I just clear up what I'm saying. I don't believe that the will of, I don't believe there's three wills of God, a good will, an acceptable, and a perfect. I believe the will of God, it's good and it's acceptable and it's perfect.
Amen.
But here he mentions the will of God that ye may know, that ye may prove. Ye may prove in Romans chapter 12. Listen, you can say this is the will of God, and you can say it's the will of God, and I understand there's some things in the Bible that are the will of God, but I'm talking about things that are not written right down in Scripture verbatim. You can say it, but you know what? Time will do. It'll prove what is the will of God, that ye may prove. But before you get to the will of God in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, he says this, present your bodies a living sacrifice. See, some of this we're talking about, it's sanctification and consecration. You haven't done that. You're not going to know the will of God. You won't be able to prove the will of God because, listen, the carnal mind is at enmity with God. How does the carnal mind know and be able to prove the will of God? It can't. Why? It's at enmity with... Some of y'all are looking at me like I've got three heads. It's at enmity with God. The carnal mind doesn't know the mind of Christ. You cannot be living in the flesh and unsanctified and unconsecrated and unseparated life, totally given to the lust of our flesh and say, oh, I know this is the will of God, unless it's something the Bible says. But in an abstract thing, you cannot tell me I'm doing the will of God when you're in the flesh. You don't know that. You can't prove it, and time will prove that you're not in the will of God. The will of God is not just something that anybody can know outside the Word of God and living right. He says, present your bodies, living sacrifice, and that's wholly acceptable unto God. My life is supposed to be holy. We preached on that some the other week, and acceptable unto God. And then he says this, and be not conformed to this world. Listen, I do not believe you can know the will of God. And again, I'm saying outside, I understand the Bible says, and everything give thanks is will of God. You know that. This is the will of God, abstain from fornication. But I'm saying in things that's not clearly written in the Word of God, you cannot know the will of God when you're conformed to the world. You've got the influence of the world. There's a spirit of worldliness. And I believe that that spirit can affect you. And when you're in love with the things of the world, you're not going to be able to know and prove what is the will of God. Amen. Present your bodies, live in sacrifice. Be not conformed to this world. And then it says, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Oh, that's so important. Yes, sir. Why? We don't think right. Mm-hmm. Our mind needs to be renewed. And we need to be transformed. And then it says, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Man, we need our mind renewed. This world is filthy. Amen. It's polluted. Amen. It's evil. I mean, you just read the news, your mind can get polluted. Amen. You go out in public, you go into Walmart or Wawa or some place like that, they're filthy places. You drive past billboards, there's music playing. Your own flesh is rotten, deceitful. Our mind needs renewed.
Amen.
And listen, that's not one time. That needs to be a continual thing that's going on all the time. If you're not careful, you begin to think things are okay, and they're not.
Yes.
There's people, they think, I can lay out a church for this. This is good. What happened? Their mind's not renewed.
Yes.
They say, I can go ahead and partake of this thing, and it's sin. But God's okay with this. How'd they get there? Their mind is not renewed. We need to be in the Word of God on a daily basis. We need to be in prayer. We need to be under the preaching of the Word of God. Because you know, sometimes you can read the Bible and you can explain it all the way to somebody else. But you need those demands of God's holy law laid at your heart's door. Where you're showed, hey, this is what's right. This is where you are. This is the problem. Where we look in the mirror of God's Word and see ourselves for who and what we are. So he says, be transformed. He says here in verse 3, abstain from fornication. That is the will of God. That is still the will of God. And I don't care if America and this world is totally given over to fornication, it is still the will of God to abstain from fornication. You say, what's it mean to abstain? In other words, let it not be once named among you. Stay away from it. Keep away from it. He says to possess his vessel, that's your body, in sanctification and honor. You cannot do that when you're involved in fornication. Let me tell you this about your vessel, your body. Something or somebody possesses it. God says possess it in sanctification and honor. There's people, they're possessed with unclean spirits, and we're not going to preach on all that, but he says abstain from fornication. We're supposed to possess it. It's supposed to be the temple of God.
Yes,
it's what the Bible says. The temple, you go back in the Old Testament, look at the illustration of the temple, the pattern as God showed Moses in the mount, and all that went into the building of it, the dedicating of it, the materials of it. God wanted his temple to be holy. He wanted it to be clean. He wanted it to be sanctified and consecrated for his. And then and only then would God come down and meet with them. So the will of God, I know the will of God is to abstain from fornication. You old people, you young people, you middle-aged people, it is the will of God to abstain from fornication. Fornication is sin against God. It's a sin against your own body. We talked about one of the commandments is committing adultery. That's fornication. This in pornography is fornication. Young people touching before they're married. Old people touching other people. Amen. Whether it's premarital after you're married, it's anything that is against God. That is, the Bible says it's good for a man not to touch a woman. Amen. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication. So the Bible says abstain from fornication. That is the will of God. Amen. For you, for me, for any of us that are saved. We know that's the will of God. And listen, it don't matter what other people believe. Listen, we do not believe that around here. Listen, I know young people, we don't believe in them dating, going out on dates, holding hands, giving goodnight kisses before they're married. I believe that's all fornication. I believe that's what the Bible teaches. You say, well, what do you believe? I believe in courting. You say, that's not a Bible word. No, but the principles are biblical. The Bible says, avoid the appearance of evil. If two young people are getting to know each other and they're looking at marriage in the future, listen, you cannot trust that flesh. You can't trust my flesh and you can't trust your flesh. And if somebody is always with them, you know what they've just done? They've avoided the appearance of evil. You send two young people out by themselves for hours at a time and they come back and say, hey, we stayed clean. Are you convinced? But if somebody's with them, it's pretty easy to be convinced, unless they drugged them or paid them off. Amen. So that's what we believe about that. Amen. I know it's not typical Sunday morning, but listen, you'd be surprised. Churches are filled with it. This world is filthy. It's ungodly. You got to be careful. They used to preach about going to the movies, and then it was about the TV and the VCR. Now you've got cell phones and computer and internet, and it is just loaded with garbage and filth and sin and abomination. And I'm just saying, it is still the will of God to abstain, to keep away from, to not let it once be named among you, to abstain from fornication. You are better off for obeying the Word of God. You don't obey the Word of God, you are worse off. There's some things that will affect you for a long time if you don't obey the Word of God. You have devices. You have internet. You better be careful. You are not strong enough for it. I know some of you think you are. You are not. You're weak. You're deceitful. Your flesh is lustful. Listen, you better have a guard. You better have accountability. And for some of you, it may not be enough. Some of you probably be better off without it. Of course, you're never going to do it. But I'm just telling you, it is dangerous. It is sin. It is hurtful. It is destructive. I would never give young people access, unfettered, open access to the internet. I think you're crazy for that. Amen. I'm not sure adults need unfettered access to the internet without some kind of accountability, somebody watching over you. You better be careful, and you just remember whatever you do in secret, God sees it. Nobody else may know. You might be hiding something, but God's watching all. You're not fooling God. You're not getting away with God. God knows everything. It's destructive. It ruins lives and homes. It's ruined churches. It's ruined all kinds of things. The destruction is great. That's the will of God. Abstain from fornication. Listen, think about this. How important is this? I have four children. There's several teenagers here. You parents that have a teenager, a young person, especially a girl, but even a guy. And they're getting ready to marry, and you find somebody you think might be good. You want your young person that's been clean and you've kept them away from all that filth and they're clean and they're virgins and they're virtuous and they're pure and they're chaste. And then you want them to find this young person who's just been involved in all this filth and fornication. He's not chaste and he's not pure. They're not. And you want them to match up. I'm asking you a question. You want them to match up? Well, then don't we have responsibility to keep our kids chaste and clean and pure? So when we offer them to somebody else, we're not giving them something that's been defiled? This is serious here. And the world we live in and the devices, boy, Satan's devices. Some people can't even come to church and leave without being on a device. Right. Listen, we don't believe in that around here. No. You come to church, this is about church. Now listen, right now we have some people called in on devices, and I'm glad they're able to call in and listen. Sometimes I wonder if that don't help people stay home a little bit. But anyway, I'm not saying by now. I'm just saying sometimes I wonder. Yeah. Don't get mad. I'm just saying I wonder. Do you ever wonder anything that ain't just all positive?
That's you come to church. That's and put your phone away. We don't need your phone. Some struggle with that. It's okay. It's okay to be at church and stay off your phone. You're survive. You're live. It's okay. Put it away. Let God know He's number one. After an hour and a half, you can go back. You can you just leave here quick, get out in your car and check whatever it is you check. Abstain, young people. You know what your parents are going to do? If you've got good parents, they're going to try to put some hedges in your life. They may not be the best ones, but they're going to try. They're going to have you in a good church. They're going to try to put some protection. You know what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to make a choice. You're going to make a choice, because you don't make a choice, I don't care what kind of hedges they put in your life, you're going to break them down. You're going to break through them. You're going to find a way. You need to, at some point in your life, say, you know what? I want to do right. It'd be blessed some young people just decide one day you want to actually do right instead of wanting to do wrong all the time. In fact, I wonder why some of you want to do wrong all the time. Wait a minute, I'm not preaching. That's later. That may be tonight, so we need to get off that. But anyways, you need to make a decision. Listen, you adults, you need to make a decision, and you need to strive that you don't keep yourself clean. Amen. This is not just for young people. This is for old people. There's people, there's independent Baptist churches. People are getting divorced and remarried in the church, and they're going to church together. You know how many churches have been destroyed because somebody, the pastor or somebody in high authority or somebody, they're out there, they're committing adultery. It's not an affair, amen? Like Brother Jack, some guy went in Brother Jack one time. He's once a counselor. He said, I'm having an affair. Brother Jack said, okay. He said, no, you don't understand. I'm having an affair. Brother Jack said, okay, have all the affairs you want. He goes, no, you don't understand. I'm having an affair on my wife. And Brother Jack said, oh, you mean you're a dirty whoremonger. Yeah. Affair. That almost sounds like, I mean, the affairs of life, that's not a bad word. It's not an affair. People are cheating and committing adultery right in our churches. It's one of the reasons I believe the Bible tells us that women should be keepers at home. It keeps them out of that wicked environment. Amen. Dad tells a story, old man Mr. Bond, he was old when I was young, so. And he, even as a lost man, wouldn't put his wife out there because he knew the dirty minds of men and what he would expose her to. And as a lost heathen man, he said, you'd be crazy me put my wife out to work. And he kept her in the haven of her home, even as a lost person. Amen. Our young people, we shouldn't just let them run footloose and fancy. This is a wicked world we're living in. Amen. Say, you trust people? No. Amen. I don't trust people. I don't trust myself. Amen. So anyways, God, abstain. That's the will of God. You want to do the will of God? Abstain from fornication. And he mentioned sanctification in verse 3, even your sanctification. And then verse 4, possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. You know what sanctification is? It's a work of the Holy Spirit. 1 Peter 1, 2, through sanctification of the Spirit, and it's done through the Word of God. John 17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy Word is truth. Ephesians 5 says that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word. You know what the Spirit uses to sanctify us? He uses truth, the truth of the Word of God. In the Old Testament, several times, I didn't count them, but several times, When the tabernacle or the priests were getting sanctified, you know what they used? They used blood and oil. You know what you need to be sanctified? You need the blood of Christ applied to your heart. You also need the blood of Christ cleanse you from your sin on a daily basis, and you need the Holy Spirit to work in your life to conform you to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Possesses vessel in sanctification and honor. Our life ought to be honorable. Yes. Shouldn't be a life. It's a vessel unto honor, the Bible talks about. Good. Not a vessel unto dishonor. You know what Paul's doing here? He's preaching to these Thessalonians, writing to them about their conduct as a Christian. How they should live, what they should know, what they should do, what they shouldn't do. He's telling them about the will of God, how they ought to live. And that's really what we need to know. How should we live? Our Christian conduct matters. Amen. Let's pray. Let's pray here this morning.